Hey everybody, before we get started, I have some great news to announce to you. We have a new partner with the show. We are now partnering with Stanley Customs. You find them on Instagram. Stanley Customs makes these amazing athletic figurines. They are so awesome. You need to check them out on Instagram, Stanley_Customs on Instagram. Right now, our listeners will get 15% off any of your orders with Stanley Customs, and if you're an athlete or any guest who interviews with the show, we have an even better discount for you. So if you're thinking, I'm interested in the show, I have some stories to tell, maybe I'll join. Also, maybe I want one of these Stanley Custom figurines. Now's your time. Shoot us a message, be a guest on the show, and get an even better discount with Stanley Custom. So go and check them out on Instagram, Stanley_Customs, and check out what these guys have done. It is awesome. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Globally Ballin Podcast, a product of the Globally Ballin Podcast Network. We have a fantastic interview for you today, so sit back and enjoy, and thank you all for joining us one more time. Here's the music. I gotta let you go. Finish the game with a broken hand.
Yeah, finish the game with...
I'm Rio 2016 silver medalist and Asian Games 2018 gold medalist.
You know, no matter how you use a celebrity for good, you know, up until that point, most of us as athletes were taught how to use a celebrity to manipulate, to get a girl, to get famous, to get whatever it is.
We're hours away from kind of the near hospital. He ended up losing his leg over.
I don't think a lot of people know the opportunities there are actually to play overseas, especially in the women's category.
Actually broke my neck. I was paralyzed from the waist down, and I was never supposed to walk again, much less be able to play football again.
Had a couple guys get robbed at gunpoint, and one of them was just like, yay, get me out.
At the same time, there are some who would still keep their 9-to-5 jobs because the pay for being an athlete isn't enough.
Don't complain when we look like idiots abroad in these big tournaments.
What league or country gave you the best pay contract-wise?
Probably Turkey, my last season.
Okay. Hey everybody, this week's interview is with Jeremy Bright. Jeremy played basketball all over the world, including TBL, one of the teams in the Basketball League. But that is not all he played, and many other places around the world. So you're going to hear a lot of great information from Jeremy. You may have noticed this is quite a long episode, so I'm going to really try to cut my talk short. But one quick thought is this. Have you ever had something that you were dedicated to, be it a dream, an idea, a plan for your future, that you've closed the door behind you once you've decided what that was? If you're not sure what I mean, you're going to know what I mean. When we get to the mindset of Jeremy and the decisions that he made for his future, keep that idea in your head of deciding what you're going to do and committing to it on such a level that you slam the door behind you, as in to say, there's no going back. I'm doing this. That's what Jeremy's all about. That's what his story's all about. He's a really passionate and amazing guy. So he's going to give any of you who are looking for information, which is kind of what this podcast is all about. He's going to give you a lot of stuff, a lot of it. So you might have to go back a couple of times, which is great, or you want to write stuff down, whatever. He's a fantastic resource. So make sure you're really listening to what he says. He's going to give you a lot of good insight. So we're going to jump right into things. This is Jeremy Bright, global professional basketball player. Enjoy. Hey everybody, this episode is brought to you by an additional sponsor. We are now also brought to you by Creating Young Minds. Creating Young Minds is a nonprofit out of Louisville, Texas, right outside of Dallas. You may remember we've had an episode in the past with the founders of Creating Young Minds, Dr. Shira Ackerman and Coach Mathis Crowder. Creating Young Minds strives to help young men achieve success in their life where they may not have otherwise achieved that success. One way they do this is through their new basketball team, the Louisville Yellow Jackets, affiliated with Creating Young Minds, play in TBL, the Basketball League. And through a combination of their nonprofit as well as their basketball team, Creating Young Minds and the Louisville Yellow Jackets are doing their best to bring the European model of basketball to the United States. That is Creating Young Minds. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, basically everywhere. Find Creating Young Minds, check them out, see what they're all about. And when the TBL league rolls around once again, keep an eye out for the Louisville Yellow Jackets. Thank you.
Jeremy.
What's going on, man?
Hey, how are you?
Great, actually.
Okay, why don't we go ahead and start off having you introduce who you are and then what you do.
So what's going on? My name is Jeremy Bright, and I played this last year for the Owensboro Thoroughbreds, and I've been playing basketball for 6 years now, and I actually played semi-professional baseball before that. So my story goes back, and I could take up 30 minutes to tell my story, but I'll save your listeners that.
Let's at least start with college.
All right, so I went to the University of Portland. I played, that's where I played my baseball. I went to Mount Hood before that, a junior college up in the Northwest. And then after that, I went to Texas and I played semi-professional baseball and then went and tried out for a D-League team. I went and tried out for the Bakersfield Jam because I didn't want to be that like 40-year-old that was like, oh man, I was so good back in the day. And so I just wanted to try it. I was like, man, I want to see if I can hang with the big boys. You know, I haven't played basketball in 6 years. And the coach walked up to me afterwards and he goes, you know, you can really play, but you are never in the right spot. And I kind of laughed and I was just like, I haven't played basketball in like 6 years. I've been playing baseball. And he's like, oh my God. He's like, man, that makes so much sense. He goes, I tell you what, he goes, if you can go find a place to play, I might help you out. Like, then come back in a few years, like once you kind of get the basics and fundamentals back. And so I got a phone call like a week and a half later from a very legendary, somewhat angry coach in the Northwest at Lower Columbia College. He's like, hey man, I want you to come up and play for us. And I was like, yeah, you know, I thought about playing college basketball next year. And he's like, no, I mean like next week. And so I was living down in California at the time. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, let's do it. Like I thought about it, I called my family. And so that's where I ended up in college. It was quite the story, but I'm so glad that that's, you know, how it all worked out.
Okay, so how many years were you actually playing college basketball then?
I only played 2 years. I only played 2 years, but I had an assistant coach that had played in Germany, Finland, and a couple of other places. And he kind of saw the way I played. He's like, you know, he's like, if you could develop some more guard skills, because I was like a clunky four at the time when I first started playing. I was kind of just athletic and, you know, could shoot a tiny bit and could jump and rebound. And he's like, if you could kind of figure out some of these guard skills, he's like, you know, you could have a career with this. And so I think it's just kind of getting fortunate. You know, I think there's, you know, when you get fortunate like that and you just have a coach that's already been there, he kind of just put me through the ringer and taught me all the stuff that he knew. And like, that's how I ended up kind of trying to develop my contacts overseas.
So after college, then what was stop number one?
Stop number one was a tour that I did. I went to a tryout in Las Vegas and had like the tryout of my life. I just did a little bit of everything. And then at the end of the tryout, I tried to jump over a 6'10 guy and he didn't jump with me. And I actually ended up unconscious.
Oh no.
On the floor. So I had the tryout of my life. The guys were coming up to me like, hey, you're going to be a pro. Like, you're going to get a contract out of this. You know those like Vegas combines that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was one of those and I just killed. And so then I'm unconscious. I end up in the hospital and you fast forward like 4 months later and I kind of was playing basketball a little bit and like I didn't really have too many side effects and the guy was like, are you good? Like, because we're going on a tour. And I was like, yeah, sure. And so we went on a tour. We went to Estonia and it was, man, my story is crazy, but like when we got over there, basically there was only two teams for us to play. Everything was completely unorganized.
Sounds
and
about right.
I think that was like my first experience. And I've been able to tell so many people since then, like you can't expect much when you're doing these and you got to just have a good attitude and try and learn how to make networks by yourself. And so basically none of us were going to get a job. Nothing was going to come of it. And I was like, man, I told everybody I was going to be a pro, you know, and when you burn bridges like that, and I'm sure you've done that in your life where you're like, okay, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And you kind of make a statement, like you got to stand behind that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So at that point, that's when I was like, I'm not going home. He had mentioned this one name and the guy's name was like Liam Flynn. And he never actually hit the guy up, but he'd mentioned that name at one point. So I bought a ticket to Germany and sent out an email to Liam. And I was like, hey, this guy, I'm not going to drop the guy's name because, you know, he's kind of well known as a snake at this point. But okay. The other guy. Yeah. But so anyway, Liam hit me back. He's like, yeah, I've like never heard of that guy. Actually, that guy owes me money. And but he's like, you know what, if you guys come down, like I'll at least work out with you and maybe just give you a reference for Germany. And so I went and did a workout with him and just had a good workout. And I was like, hey man, do you mind if I use your name in these emails that I sent out? And let me tell you, I sent out 6,000 emails probably in the basement in the basement of an Airbnb that I worked out by myself. Everyone else went home, and finally a couple teams would like get back to me, and like one of them was like, hey, we don't really like our American right now, will you come to practice? And I was in Gießen, Germany, and I went, I hadn't played in like 14 days, I airballed my first shot, and then had a decent like second half of this little scrimmage, and they asked me to stay, and it had nothing to do with like my physical abilities, and it had so much more to do with like learning how to have that grit of when you close the door and you're like, I'm staying and I'm gonna figure this out. Like, that's what got me like that job, and honestly that's what's got me all of my jobs. But that was my first stop, was Gießen, Germany.
All right, so that's really important, because I want to start back where you said Vegas. I've heard, and if anyone listening has heard before, that I often say that I really don't know a lot of this stuff. That's why I have a guest every time, because they tell me. But on several occasions, we've heard negative things. Some are things that you need to be careful about when you go to maybe a big combine in Vegas. Like, if we're going to uproot and go all the way over there and go to a big one, questions to ask beforehand or figure out the answer somehow is how many jobs are actually available, right? And so it might be a combine big, and if you're not careful, if you're not smart about it, you go down there and realize this is one team looking for two people, you know what I mean? And it, right. 200 people roll up. So that's something you need to be prepared for. But also your story of some of the hiccups you had in Europe are so important and so missed, and your answer to how you need to counteract that is so important and also very much missed, is that if you want to do this, if you really want to do this, you can, but you gotta do it.
You have to do so much of the work on your own, and that's why I actually really enjoyed, and for your listeners, I enjoyed listening to the Kai Howard's interview a lot, because that was one of the things that he talked about. He doesn't have an agent. He's done a lot of this leg work on your own, and it's stuff that you don't necessarily want to do. Like, it's not fun sending out 6,000 emails. The four other players that went to Germany with me were like, dude, get out of the house. And I was like, I'm not leaving until I have a job or at least a lead.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
It was just like, I'm not going to. Like, I don't, and it's so funny too, because you'll come back and you'll play in these rec leagues and you'll be places. And I've always set up my iPad at half court. Okay. So I like to record what I do.
Yeah.
And that's right by the scores table. And that's where you can hear what people are saying. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, throughout my career, as I've gotten better, where they've been like, man, I can't believe that guy played professional basketball. Cause I'm going to be real. Like, at the beginning, I had my good moments, but like, I wasn't incredibly talented at basketball. I've developed a ton of skills just from crazy work ethic that I put into my baseball career, and like being able to, you know, take things from certain players and work on it for thousands and thousands of hours and good habits and blah, blah, blah. But at the beginning, I wasn't that good. It was just sheer grit of like, I'm going to make this work because this is what I want to do. And then I will develop the skills along the way.
Doesn't that wear you out, hearing people say that in the iPad, watching back maybe your film and hearing a couple of people at the score table going, wow, this guy, I don't know how he did it.
So they actually made, it's a great story. They made a video. I tried to take a game tying three from like 33 feet. And I worked on them all the time. And, you know, in practice, I was pretty good at them. And I like completely airballed it. And it's just a rec league, don't get me wrong. And they literally created a like an NBA trailer on a YouTube video of me airballing this with like the dramatic theme music playing in the background. And it's like NBA, where the amazing happens. They made a mockery of that shot on YouTube. And I have no problem talking about it. And kind of that same thing of like, of letting those, the outside noise kind of wear you down. But it's because I know that I'm not going to be great in a few months. And I knew that I had to have the balls to take these difficult shots, especially in rec game, because if I don't have the courage to do it, then how in the world am I going to have the courage to do it in front of 20,000 people when I make it to where I want to be? Like, so it was just one of those things where, and I learned this the hard way in Lithuania too, of like, that's where I played. That was my second stop, not to jump ahead, but like, I snaked the screen and I always wanted to play guard. And it was the first time I'd ever went around a pick and roll. And for your viewers that don't play a whole lot of basketball, like I went around the screen and then I cut immediately back and tried to beat the big to the rim. and I got it picked, and the guy went down and dunked it, and I got taken out. And I was on the bench, and I was so proud of myself. And I remember my guard, one of my buddies, looked at me and said, he's like, why are you smiling? And I was like, dude, I've always wanted to try that. And it was just this, it's just kind of getting used to, you can't get good unless you make mistakes. Like there's no way around it. You have to try it first, because then you can take that same work ethic and go back in the gym and work on that specific stuff. So I guess you just can't care about that stuff.
All right, so stop number two, out of Germany, then where?
So stop number two was Lithuania. And that came from the same thing. That came from a China tour where I speak multiple languages.
Okay.
So I speak Spanish, I speak German, and there was a team from Spain there, and there was a team from Russia, a team from Lithuania. It was this really cool tour that we went on. And when I was there, like every time I wasn't playing, I was hanging out with a team from Spain, or I was hanging out with a team from Russia. And we were just going around the town and we were just experiencing things. And I was just making really good relationships with the other coaches. And I'm not going to lie, there was some of the players from my team in the U.S. that were, I'll say, typical Americans. They were kind of, maybe let's just say that to be fair, they just maybe never traveled before. Sure. They were kind of selfish players, and they thought that what they were doing would help them get a job.
Oh yeah.
On the court. And if I could say anything to professional, to Americans that want to play overseas, it's what you think is going to get you a job, as in being a rah-rah guy and like trying to constantly score, it's not going to help, because a lot of times these overseas teams have scores and they want you to be able to do a little bit of everything. And I know Kai said that too. So anyways, I was on this tour in China, and I was talking to these coaches that I had created a pretty good rapport with, and they were actually kind of giving my teammates a hard time. And I was like, hey, look, man, like that's all they've ever known. They're great scorers. They have incredible talent. And I didn't think I could go play for them. But little did I know, when after I played them that night, I had a couple big shots in that game. And then we were talking, and they're like, hey, you want to come back with us? I was like, what? And like, we were just sitting there. They were drinking wine, and I don't drink, but I was just sitting there enjoying dinner with them. And they're like, yeah, we like you, and the team seems to like you. Like, do you want to come finish the season with us? So like, it's once again, just another example of like, my talent helped for sure, but my just ability to network and like the things that I learned off the court as a human being helped me even more. And that's what ended up being my second stop in Lithuania.
You know, that's one thing we've also learned, is that there's a lot of jobs, and there's also a lot of talented, there's far more talented basketball players out there. And so they can get talent, and you're talented, obviously, but they also want somebody that's gonna work out with the team and hang out and not gonna bring everybody down, and they know is gonna be good for team chem and being a good teammate. So that is huge, being able to just go and hang out, spend time with them. And so it doesn't surprise me that you got that invite after hanging out with them.
Yeah. And I think I want to touch real quick too on what you said about Vegas.
Yeah.
And just like kind of things to like look out for, or like things to be prepared for. And like what I would say is kind of that. It's like, you're probably not going to go to your first combine and get a job unless you just show out. Like unless you go and you show sure. out and you really make an impact on the game on so many different levels. But what you can do, you go out to these, is number one, not have like expectations other than trying to be comfortable, trying to make an impact on the court. But what you can do is you can make networks and just make as many people know your name as possible, like mostly on the court, obviously, but off the court too. When you're talking to them, and like other coaches will see you talking to coaches, and then like they will feel comfortable coming up to you and talking to you as well. And then they will watch what you do on the court, because a lot of times they're there to see a certain person too that an agent has told them about, or you know, something like that. And so I think it's just being able to make your name known in the basketball world. Like, because now I feel like if I go, you know, anywhere in Vegas or any of those combines, like I've seen so many of the same coaches and players that I am one of the group, you know, like, yeah. And so they can tell that I'm well respected and I've played with these players before. And so like, it's just a little bit different because the basketball world is actually pretty small at these levels.
All right.
And so I think that's what I would say to players, is just having the patience to like develop these relationships. And it might take a little bit of money, but instead of having an expectation of, okay, this is it, do or die, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to prove myself, I'm going to get a job or I'm not, versus let's make some relationships and like, let's ball out. Like, for God's sakes, you're there to play basketball. But, like, understand that it's like another job community. You're trying to getting your feet in the door. It doesn't mean getting your foot in the door with a job. It means becoming a part of, like, the community.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. So you're going back to, now you're in Lithuania. How long were you there playing? The rest of the season, you said, how long was that?
4 months, I think.
So during this time from when you first went to Germany, you got the job in Germany, and then you went over to Lithuania. Had you been home yet?
Yes. God, that's a long time ago. So I'd come back from Germany, and I almost wanted to quit at one point. I was working a normal job, and I was trained out, you know, I was working 44 hours a week. I was kind of working on a business, and then I was training when I could, but like I felt like I needed some sort of help, and I felt like I was kind of playing a victim. I was like, God, I just need help. I don't have an agent. Like, I don't have contacts. Like, yeah, this team in Germany likes me and they want me to come back, but it's a low level. Like, I was really feeling down about the whole thing. I was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. And so and there's so many times where you've been in a gym, you know, 3 months straight for, you know, 2-a-days, plus you're working, plus you're, you know, like for me, I was doing a business too. Like, I was exhausted, and I was like, for what? Like, why am I working this hard if I don't have a guaranteed job that I can put all this work into practice? And I told my brothers that. I was like, you know, I might move in with a friend in Portland, Oregon, and I might call it a career. Like, I might just stop a career 1 year. Like, I might just stop, guys. And they're like, dude, don't be a d. Like, and I might cuss a little bit on this, but they're like, don't do what my brother was like, don't do what I did. My older brother, he played baseball, and he's like, don't quit until like they make you quit. And I was like, what am I supposed to do, dude? I have no contacts. Like, I have no help. Like, I'm good, but like, I don't want to pay again and go to these combines and just, you know, be a number and try to make connections. And, you know, like, it just all seemed for naught. And what I didn't realize is that same grit that I had when I was in Germany of, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to email 6,000 teams. And I was over there, and it was easy for me to have the grit then, because I felt like I'd closed the doors on going back. But being at home, where it was like, I had a job and I had everything else going on, it was like, I didn't have that same, the bridges weren't burned. I was like comfortable while training, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And so I got to that point where I was like, how do I find that? And honestly, just having an honest conversation with somebody who gave who cared about me, which was my brothers. They're like, well, why don't you do what you did before? Why don't you go email these teams? And I was like, I was really mad at them, because it was a pretty fiery conversation on both sides. But I literally went upstairs and I wrote out my story and said I'd played in Germany before. And, you know, here was my film. I had some decent film from Germany. It was from a low level, but it was decent film. I played really well in a couple games. I had like 28-9 in one game. And what I decided to do is hit up all the agencies I could find on Facebook. So similar to what Kai said, this is where I really related to his story. I hit up all the agencies I could on Facebook, and I told my story. And this lady named Kim Davis, who's a big G League agent, actually got back to me. She's like, Jeremy, I love your story. Like, I love your grit. Like, your film looks great. Like, you look like a good player with like a really good upside. Like, I'm going to see if I can help you out. And just, I think the power of hope is the only thing that put me back in the gym, even though I was working like 40 hours. Because like, I was just ready to call it a day, but I didn't realize that I still needed to put forth that effort all the time in trying to network and like putting myself out there.
All right. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that can relate to that. The fact that you're ready to go, but you need to make the decision. Am I going to keep going until they make me, or am I going to decide when I'm going to quit? And so being able to put yourself through that is what separates people that are going to continue to play and those that obviously won't, because they've decided to stop. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So Lithuania, what comes after Lithuania?
What I think I want to finish with too is when it comes to like building up that hope is, you know, once I started working out and I was like, okay, like maybe I have that, even just that maybe, my workouts changed again. And like, I felt like I was so much more, you know, focused, and it was back to doing 2-a-days. And I was so thankful that I put myself through the 3 months of 2-a-days when I didn't necessarily want to, and it still felt like it was for nothing. Like, it felt like it was for nothing sometimes, but I still made myself do it because I knew I wanted to. And I'm so glad I did, because the phone rang after I talked to that agent. The phone rang a week later, and he was like, that's when he was like, hey, we're going to China in it was something like 3 days. Like, it was such a short turnaround. He's like, do you want to go with us? He's like, you don't have to pay anything. I actually lost the guy, so do you want to go with us? And I was like, yes, like, let's do it. Yep. Like, and so that's the thing, is I was ready because I made myself continue to work even before that conversation, and I was so glad I did.
Yeah, that's an important just kind of part of the business and the life, is that it can be super short notice. Like, we kind of just, that was an important part of the story that some people don't understand, is that passport ready, in shape, ready to go. Don't give up, because you don't know when it's going to come. And if it does, it might be 2 days notice. Like, you better be ready to go.
Yeah, it's now. And that passport ready, in shape, really means passport ready, in shape. Like, you see that on the Facebook post. Like, you've seen all the groups on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And people will put their videos up there and they're like, passport ready.
Yeah.
Passport ready means I'm leaving in 2 days and I can drop everything.
Yeah. That's exactly what it means.
Yeah, so that is super important for them to hear. Like, super important.
All right.
Because, like,
yeah. No, keep going. Anything else on that?
Well, I was just gonna say, because, like, game, you know, I mean, we all know game shape. Well, you should know that being in game shape is completely different than, you know, playing in your rec leagues where you can away with stuff.
Oh yeah. And I mean, because we've seen that too before, where people are like, yeah, I'm in shape, I've been playing rec ball, and you go, no, that's not in shape.
No, you're not.
That's rec league shape, maybe. I mean, yeah, you got to be doing stuff on your own, obviously, a lot of it, plus maintaining whatever you're doing at home, whether it's the regular job or whatever it is. So, yeah, the waiting period and maintaining hope that whole time. Like, there's so much to it, but it's what it takes. It really is.
Right, and maintaining that hope really comes. If you can just get to the point where you reach out to, like, even if it's just two people every single day, whether it's NBA players and ask them a question, because like this last week I ended up on Phil Handy's Instagram story. Like, I hit up a ton of NBA trainers, because that's the next step for me. Like, I've seen how it works if I, you know, reach out to people, and as I work on my skills, of course. And I feel like my skill level and talent level is getting closer to that of, you know, the G League level, and
sure.
But being able to do it consistently and show up and blah, blah, blah. But, like, you know, when Phil Handy gets back to you and says, hey, yeah, you know, let me see what I might be able to do. And he was so cool about it. It's like, that's just another dash of hope. But now it's going further up the epsilon, and, like, this is the top of the hill, you know, or getting closer to the top of the hill. And it just helps you push. And I really want people to understand you don't need to sit there and do what I did in Germany, reach out to 6,000 people. But even if you're reaching out to like 50, you think about a sales, it's just, if two people see that and read it and get back to you, it's going to give you a little bit of like a breath.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of good in there, and setting a number, even if you think it's low, if you do it consistently every day, I think that's really big.
Yeah, two people for a month is 60.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, that's a great thing for athletes listening to keep that in mind, is just set a number, but stick to it is your big part.
Right. And it's going to be, and then every one of your messages too is going to be tailored, instead of some stupid spam that you're sending out, like, hey, 6'6" wing from
Oregon. Yeah.
I can jump, run, pass, jump, and shoot, and I can do all this, and I'm a hustler. Instead of having a spam that you send out to all these agencies, if you did two or three a day and you really looked into their agencies and you just took like 30 minutes to do it, you'd be like, hey, I saw what you did for Kai, and I really think that I'm a similar player, and here's the reason why, here's the footage. I also really appreciate the way that you support X, and, like, you know, you helped him through his career after his injury. What kind of a difference that's going to make is, in the social media world, especially while everyone's trying to have content, people are going to read their messages, like, and they're going to get back to you if they actually think it's to a human being and not just spam. And that's really where the difference, I think, has come from what I've done. Is like, I'm not doing 100 anymore. Now it's like two or three a day. And a lot of, they all get back to me. Shoot, the Miami Heat just commented on one of my TikToks I had this morning. Like, and it, you know, it was just a joke, but like, I tailored a joke directly to them, and I remade the Ray Allen clutch shot from the NBA Finals that saved Bron's legacy.
Yeah.
And I did it in a Kroger in Kentucky. and then I commented at them, and I was like, if I was wearing a Ray Allen jersey instead of a Blazers one, you guys would probably put this on your profile. And they liked it and commented. They're like, this is great, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, if you can learn how to just tailor your stuff towards people, everyone, I'm talking to you, you're just a human being. Like, you may have a platform that you're working on and developing. You might be, you know, the next Tom Bilyeu or Gary Vaynerchuk, or like someone that has a humongous platform, but you're still just a human being.
Yeah.
Like, we all respond to a connection, like a genuine connection, instead of somebody, when we see people trying to look for clout or trying to look for spam, like, we just don't react to that. Like, why would you?
I get I get them. I get messages like that from athletes, and they don't, first of all, they don't realize that I'm not an agent or I don't work for an agency, but I can, it's so easy to tell that this has just been sent to 1,000 people. And I right. can't imagine as an agent looking at that going, oh, this is the guy. Like that, yeah. it doesn't mean anything. And so customizing it, taking the time. And so that does speak to making the numbers maybe a little bit lower, the 2 or 3 a day, if they're going to be good ones. So absolutely. Another really, really important point.
Oh, and the off season's long too. Like if you, especially right now with what we have going on.
Oh yeah.
Of all the times that we have an opportunity to grow as athletes and pass people and seeing firsthand how, not, I don't want to say the word lazy because they're everyone's talented, but seeing firsthand that certain people at the professional level, and I'm not going to name names or even teams, I know of personally that aren't working out right now because either they can't, because maybe they don't have a home gym or something like that, or they just maybe enjoy drinking or smoking more than the next person, or women, or they're distracted. This is such an opportunity for people to make leaps and bounds and pass people. For those that like, maybe have been like, oh man, like I haven't made it yet. There's so many people resting right now.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
And so and with this long off season, not only do you have a chance to pass people, but you have a chance, you know, if we have a 7-month off season, which is, you know, unprecedented, how many people could you talk to that are not only this, but think about the agents and the trainers and stuff like that, that aren't as busy right now as usual. They might be checking their messages.
Oh, they are. They have to be. I mean, because exactly that they don't know when everything's going to come back, or they would probably have a better insight than we would. But still a lot of uncertainty. They want to get their squad ready to go. They want to get set up and know who they're using, right. everything. They got to be ready for that. So they definitely will be.
Right. And I know that certain agents get a lot of flack of like, oh, you know, agents are just trying to send you places and they're trying to just make money off of you. Like there may be certain truth to that with some of them, you know, they're like, okay, they're just trying to make their next number. But, you know, when you make a connection with an agent, kind of on the same thing of just as a human being, they're not just going to send you somewhere. Like, so I think that's why developing the skills of just creating relationships might be your number one important skill as an athlete, as a business owner, like what you're doing right now as a podcaster, like influencer. You know, people are going to want to trust you. People are going to want to work with you because of who you are. And then that's where your contacts are going to come from anyways.
Well, see, even and with that, the more relationships you develop. So if you're developing relationships with different agents and teams, you can now be choosy. And that one guy that doesn't answer you right away, or you don't really like his answers, or he seems a little off, or you don't trust him, then fine. You have all these other options. So networking out is so important.
1,000%. That's why I honestly think that's been my biggest tool, because, you know, you think about it. I like to correlate a lot of things to the dating world. Like, you know, a girl's not going to mess with a guy that's, you know, clingy and looking at her as like the end all be all. There, it's like, it's the value that you bring to the table. It's the same thing with a team. When I show up to a team now, it's in this, I wasn't as good at this in my first 2 stops, which I just, that's honestly, that's why I'm kind of taking the conversation here. Cause I don't really like to talk about my first stops too much, except for the grit part that was super important. It's been more about like, what value are you going to give to me? I know how hard I've worked. I know what I'm doing right now when other people aren't doing stuff. I know how much vegetables I eat on a day-to-day basis, and I take 2 ice showers, and I meditate, and then I literally study the game, and I don't watch highlights, and then I go work on certain things that like the pros are doing. And then like, I know what I value I'm bringing to you. What value like does your city have? What value do your fans have? What kind of safety does it have? And if I'm talking to every team like that, they're going to look at me different too. Like, because then I know when I show up, like kind of like what you've seen with the TBL, like I'm not going to say this to say it, but like I was more or less one of the faces of, you know, Owensboro, and I broke my thumb and I hardly played for some of the, like for like a month. But for what I bring, and I'm very confident in that, I bring a value of my story and who I've become and the talent and like all of it that's just going to bring people hope and going to inspire people. And I know I'm just going to make that city better. And so I'm not worried about a job. I'm now looking at it from the buyer standpoint of like, you know, yes, I still have to be, you know, beggars can't be choosers, and I'm still grateful as hell to have these opportunities, but I'm also grateful to myself for the work that I've put into myself that I can bring this value and I can be choosy, if you will, for like, for that lack of better word that we were talking about.
When you can switch yourself from a seller to a buyer, it changes everything. It really changes everything. Cause now you might get burned every once in a while, but it's so much less because you are buying, and the smarter you are with it, you're choosing what's best for you. And you get to avoid so many situations that otherwise you may not.
Well, yeah, and then you don't feel like you have to say yes to everything too. Like, even when, like, you messaged me yesterday, this is going to be nice for your viewers to hear. I was like, cool, let me listen to one of your podcasts first, and then I'll let you know if I want to be on your show or not. And I listened to one with you and Kai. I like the way you asked questions. I like the way Kai did it. You know, I enjoyed the way, you know, Kai talked about things too. And I was like, ha, this could be good for your viewers, for me to give a slightly different standpoint, but to kind of hammer down on some of those details too, and then kind of have bring a different story. I was like, yeah, let's do this. But like, I appreciated the way you did things. And it was like, I'm in the buyer's seat. I didn't have to do this, but I wanted to because of the way that you conducted that interview.
Absolutely. And well, thank you. But yes, that's absolutely true, is that, again, being that buyer makes all the difference.
I really think it's the reason why there's a lot of people that don't even interview for certain jobs. You know what I mean? Like, because once you get to a certain point, like, you think Kawhi or LeBron or any of those guys, it's all because of the value that they're bringing. And so you just have to make yourself so valuable, you know, from a basketball standpoint and from a humanistic standpoint, and just being professional. And I know Kai talked about that as well, that you're fine. You're gonna be fine. And then if you have a bad game and you go, you know, 0-for-4 and you have a couple turnovers and key points, like, that's basketball. It's gonna happen. If you bring a ton of value to your team, you're not going to get sent home that night. Like, you're not going to be worried about that, which, you know, a lot of people talk about that. Like, oh, it's, you know, you're out there paying for your job every night. You could have a bad night and go home. Well, you could if the only thing you bring is your jump shot and you go up for 6 for 3 games.
This is absolutely true. Right. And there's a definite difference between, again, those two players, the one that is playing for their job every single night and the one that's not. I mean, you got to keep it going, but you know that you can have a bad night and the team still knows your value.
Mm-hmm. Or this, like, that was one of the things I said at the at one of my elementary school visits this year, is we were going around doing Q&A with the kids.
Yeah.
And this kid was like, have any of you guys gotten your ankle broken? And I laughed and I was like, actually, we have a point guard that's like 5'8", and he's the fastest kid I'd ever played with at the time, and he broke my ankles. And all the kids were like, oh. And I was like, hold on. I was like, what happens at the beginning of every great movie you've ever watched? And they're like, something bad or something sad, or like, he dies, or like, you know, yeah. All the kids were saying stuff. And I was like, yeah, he loses. I was like, they lose to the boss at the beginning of every great movie. But what happens like in the middle and at the end? Like, he works his ass off. He learns from that. And then he takes on that same person again and he wins. I was like, I have no shame in losing. It's kind of the same thing of like hearing the negative things behind my iPad that I've heard for years. I have no problem with that because I can lose and I'm going to go and take my work ethic to the gym. I'm not going to do the same thing. I'm not going to not work and show up the next day and be like, hey, let's have another. But I'm going to think about what I did, like maybe the positioning I had or maybe the patience I had playing defense in that moment and how I set up my feet, blah, blah, blah. And then I went back the next day and I went right back up against that kid. And I was that much closer to like getting a stop. And I was like, okay, I'm going to be just fine. This is the adjustment that I needed to make. But if you don't show like defeat after that, and you show that you're going to have grit and go right back at it, your teammates and your coaches, they'll notice that and they'll be like, okay, he's going to be fine because he's adjusting maybe to this speed as you go up. Because even think about it, you go from high school to college, it's a jump in speed. Like, they're not going to expect you to show up and be an all-star.
Sure.
But they are going to expect you to have grit and like work your butt off and catch up and or be somewhere near that level so that you can provide that value.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so where to next?
Where to next was Denmark, and that was a cool transition because actually where to next was the TBL and getting my first invite to a training camp. Actually,
okay,
I had a really strong off season after Lithuania. My guard skills were coming along. I went to the TBL combine in Indianapolis, the draft combine.
This past one or the year before? 18 or 19? 18. Okay.
Yeah, 18. And I think what I want people to do, and what I hear a lot from athletes, is, man, you know, they didn't get to see everything that I can do. Like, I hear that so much on, you know, in combines and camps, like, man, they didn't quite get to see everything. It's because, like, that fear of I'm a 6'10", you know, forward, and fear of, like, going on the outside and making a mistake and then being like, oh, what is he doing out there? Like, that fear of just trying something. They're like, oh, man, I got these guard skills that I didn't show. Yeah. So what I've done in the past is I feel like I would only shoot because they expected me to be a 6'6 shooter. Like, because that's what I look like on the outside. I look like I should just be a 6'6 shooter when really the best part of my game is playmaking. And so when I went to that combine, I set my mind before I walked in there. I was like, I'm going to make plays. I'm going to do what I'm really, really good at, even though it on the outside, it may not look like I should be doing that. And I just made plays. I made plays all day. I was bringing the ball up and I was going around people. Like, I'm quick, even though I don't look it. And so anyways, at the end of the combine, the coach for the Yakima Sun Kings,
yeah,
the GOAT, walked up to me and he's just like, he goes, you're a hell of a lot better than you were last year. And I laughed and I was like, hey man, that's what work is for. And he's like, I'm really proud of you. And he's like, I just wanted to let you know I'm looking at you for the pick. And I was like, oh shoot, that's super cool. You know, I appreciate that. And, you know, thank you for the words. And I'm just going to keep working. And the coach for the Kansas City Tornadoes, I talked to every other coach while I was there because I was playing really well, and it was a fun event.
Yeah.
And he was the only one I didn't talk to, and he picked me fourth overall. And so when I answered the phone, I was like, hey, what's going on, coach? He's like, yeah, I'm from Kansas City. I was like, Kansas City? I was like, I never talked to you. He's like, yeah, no, but I saw you talking to Coach Paul, and Coach Paul thinks you're legit. You must be good. I was kind of disappointed. I was like, man, like, I at least like to go somewhere. I'd like to go somewhere because they thought I was good and they talked to me, not because someone else. I was like, oh, man, whatever. And so I went out to that training camp, and I think this was one of the biggest things I ever learned was how prepared I needed to be, because I had a really good first 3 days. And I mean, really good. Like, I was super calm. I was making plays. I was making shots. Like, I was just playing my game. And we didn't have access to a gym outside of our, you know, 2 hour strict practice slot.
Sure.
And that was, I have only played, you know, for 5 years at the time, and I'm still developing as a guard. So for me to feel confident on the floor, I needed 300 shots or so outside of practice time to feel crisp every day and ball handling work. And so being in a hotel and being 26 miles from the facility and having zero access to a gym, by day four, when I would walk in there, I was kind of shaky. I knew I wasn't crisp. I'd try and rush through my warm up so I could get up as much shots as I could. And let me tell you, I just wasn't that good. I couldn't make the same impact. Like, I didn't realize how hard I needed to push in the off season to be prepared to not have a gym and just have to show up and perform every day. That was the biggest unlock for me, because I was like, as I got cut, I got cut. Like, so after those 3 days, like, I was totally on the team. I was probably like sixth man. Like, I was maybe even like in the, I was working with the starters, like in the scrimmages, you know, you got the blue or the, in the white squad.
Yeah.
One of the, so I was on the white squad, which was the starters, like the first 3 days. And the 4th days I was in the starters, but like, I was not confident. So I wasn't taking the same shots I was taking. So I was like, man, I don't want to airball this. I haven't shot all day. And they could feel that. My teammates could feel that. The coach could feel that, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, I got the call back to continue and to end training camp, but I was one of the last cuts because I just wasn't making the same impact. I wasn't bringing the same value.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn. And I tell you what, I went to Vegas and I started training like 4 hours a day. I went there at 8 a.m. I was listening to Mamba Mentality, you know, on May He Rest in Peace. I was listening to him in my YouTube headset, and I was playing for like hours and hours and hours and taking like thousands of shots, because I was like, I never want to feel like that ever again on the court. I don't care if I haven't played in 3 days because of travel. I want to be able to show up and I want to be able to be crisp and hit open shots and make plays. Like, I never want to feel like that again, because I just lost a job because I wasn't prepared for an external mind game that I needed to be ready for. And that changed everything, because I actually got a call to go to the Vegas camp that same week. And so I'd been training for like 6 hours a day. I went there. I still didn't make that team. There was like 21 people there. And they were like, hey, you know, you can stick around. We'll see what happens kind of deal. Like, you know, you're one of the last cuts. And then I went, I was like, it doesn't matter. I'm going to stay here. I'm just going to go to the gym every day. And I'm telling you, I was there 6 hours a day, just pumping out the reps, like super specific reps. I was working really specific on balance. And that's when I got a call from my agent again. She's like, hey, you know, that lower level in Denmark that you turned down in July, well, they just lost their player again. Do you want to go over there? And I was like, will I have access to a gym? Like, that was my first question, because sure. I knew I still wasn't ready for it. And that put me back in the buyer seat too. It was like, if I have access to a gym, I know as of right now, that's what I need to be the player that I want to be.
You knew yourself, you knew your value, you could go shopping for what you needed.
Right. And I knew what I needed to bring my value to a team.
Yeah.
At that time. And when I got on the FaceTime call with the guy, he was so cool. We had a great rapport together. And it was a lot about, he goes, you know, I've talked to a lot of players, but you're the first one that I know with your story and how hard you work, you're going to be able to help our younger players get better. And he's like, so I want to offer you the job instead of the other guys. And he's like, I know you didn't, you know, average a whole lot of points in Lithuania, but I can see why you bring value to a team. And I really want you to come over here. And I went over there and I killed. I had 28, average 28, 9, like 2 blocks a game. I think I had like 6 assists. Like, I absolutely destroyed. And it was a lower level, but like, I had been training so hard, and I, coming from the TBL experience with, you know, such talented teammates, and not quite being ready to handle that without gym access, and then having gym access, and I lived in the gym. I literally, my dormitory or whatever you want to call it, was literally on the side of the gym. Like, and they had it was so awesome. It was the richest club in Denmark too, so like the pay actually wasn't bad, even though it was a lower level. And I just killed. I had my agent hit me up. She's like, hey, they love what you're doing, they love how you're playing. And then the second, the higher level sent me a message too, and they're like, hey, if you want to, you can travel on Wednesdays and come practice with us. And so just so you're playing against better competition, because, you know, you're too good for that league. And I was like, hey, that's super cool. And I asked my coach, I was like, hey, coach, like, I'm not looking to leave, or I was like, I'm not looking to leave, but would you mind if I went and practiced with them just so I could get some extra competition throughout the week? He's like, yeah, sure. So now I made a connection over there.
Yeah.
And I was actually, I was killing at that practice too. Even that coach was like, every once in a while, he's like, that's too easy. And he'd like call practice off. And he was like, really thankful that I came, because I was making their players better. And I was like, man, that's when the snowball was starting to take effect of like confidence, because I'm pulling from deep, because that's what I worked on, is being able to shoot from 32, 33 feet confidently. If I'm open, like being able to make plays, I was finally bringing all of it together, and including at a higher level. And I was like, I can do this. Like, I can really do this. And like, people are starting to notice, and my agent was getting messages. She's like, hey, I got a message from a top level in Denmark, and they said that you're like too good for there. So just keep up the good work, and I'm going to keep working on my end. And so just having an agent that cares, but also bringing value to her, and she knows how hard I'm working. Like, she knows that it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
So that's where I ended up. I ended up in Denmark. I had amazing connections. I worked on the language, and I came back just such a confident player with way too long of a beard and gross hair, because I hadn't shaved while I was over there.
All right. So following up in Denmark, did this bring you to your stint in Owensboro?
Yes. Yeah. Following up in Denmark, actually, but one thing I want to talk about from that offseason is I kept on with the work, kept on with being basically pescatarian, the ice showers, the breathing. And I met Gary Payton II.
Okay.
And there's a little pro workout that I do on Saturday mornings up in Portland, Oregon. And he was up there, a guy named Langston Morris Walker, who played in the Blazers summer league team when they won in 2018. They were both up there this one morning, and we were down by 30. We played 3 24-minute running quarters.
Okay.
And we were down by 32 going into the third quarter, and Gary and I got put on the same team, and we outscored them 47-5 or something like that. Just the two of us. It was disgusting. Like, it was like no look back doors. Like, he hit me on some back door. I hit a couple threes. Like, we absolutely killed. And it was just two-man game, him and I. And at one point, he walked up to me and he goes, you can hoop. He's like, you remind me so much of Chandler Parsons. It's crazy. And like, I was in the moment and I was completely like in the zone, because I was like, okay, I was having so much fun, because playing with a player that's that talent, when you've worked that hard, it just made the game so easy.
Oh yeah.
And I was going up against Langston Morris Walker, who had, like I said, played on that G League team. And I gave him every bucket he ever wanted. And the confidence, like I said, that snowball turned into an avalanche that day. Because I was like, not only did GP just give me like respect from the basketball community, when any of the other people in the world have ever called me trash, like I just got the respect from someone who's been there and who's doing it. But we just killed. And like, that's when the coach on the sideline who plays with us, he's like an OG, played overseas for years. He's like, hey, you know who Larry Brown is, right? I'm like, yeah, of course I know who Larry Brown is. He's like, well, his brother lives next door to me, and you know, maybe he can help you get a job, because he goes, you know, you can play. And I was like, well, actually, I already have a, you know, I have a job with the TBL in Owensboro. So once again, when you have options, this puts you in the buyer's seat. And I was like, so yeah, if something good shows up, I'd love to take that. But I ended up, like I said, I ended up in Owensboro, and even just being in Owensboro this year, the work that I put in, I'm so thankful that I have the habits that I do. I'm so thankful for the mentors on YouTube and like Instagram, and like the access that we have as players and as people to online mentors.
Because
a lot of us don't have it. You know, it's not like we have someone holding our hand and walking us through these pro workouts. They're all out there. Like, they're all out there. If you're a five, and if you've never dribbled a basketball, you know, the professor probably does, you know, tutorials. Like, there's people out there that can help you if you just take the time to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's when I ended up in Kentucky, and I felt good. Like, I felt really good. From the first day, I just wanted to make an impact, and I felt like I did. I felt like I really did. Before I broke my thumb, every time I went in, I would, you know, we'd go on a little bit of a run, and our coach was like, hey, you know, you've gotten a lot better. And I was like, thanks for the words, coach, but I knew that. Like, and it's not coming from a place of like arrogance. It's like, I'm loving what I'm doing. I'm loving the value that I'm bringing, but I'm also loving like the relationships that I'm being able to develop with my teammates and players. And like, it was awesome. And with the kids, like off the court. So yeah, this year was crazy. It was fun. I mean, obviously it got cut short, but it was still fun.
So just a little bit on your time in TBL. We've had David and Evelyn and a bunch of other people, and that one of their big things is they focus on off the court kind of stuff. And that's really where I came across you for the most part, was some of the stuff you did off the court. So what'd you think about that? The off the court scene when it came to TBL?
I love mentoring people. And I know for myself, you know, kind of the knowing yourself, when I am in a place of mentorship and leadership, it brings out the best side of me. It brings out the best work ethic in me, like even that next level, because you can't say something to somebody and then not go do it yourself. I mean, you can, but for me, if I'm like helping kids, like it brings out such a great side of me. So I loved it. Like, you know, not everyone loves doing quote unquote free work and going into the schools and stuff like that. But the way I see it is like, that's just straight up job security too. If you can go in and like and bring great value to these kids, like you don't have to worry about going 0-for-4 and like just trying stuff and trying to compete. Like, it's just, I was never worried about losing a job, and I was always so thankful for Mags and his energy and like what he's trying to do. Like, when, you know, when somebody's trying to put together something new, it's going to take work. It's going to take that grit, but it's also going to take the grit from the people that are involved in it. And I understood that if I did good things in the schools and I videoed it and I documented it like I always have, like, it would be great for me on my podcast, on my TikTok, on my Instagram, on my Facebook. So I didn't see it as I was helping them out. I saw it as I'm helping myself out, and I'm going to give the best version of me, and then it's going to be good for them anyways. So it's just this happy marriage of, I'm going to bring the best version of me for you, and mostly for myself. Like, that's why I always have my camera. That's why I have my camera right now. Like, I'm bringing what I think is the best for you and your viewership, but it's also going to be the best for me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Technical question about you in Owensboro. When you got your thumb broken, did they have under the contract in TBL, could they get rid of you, or did you have to, were you able to stay? Not that they would have, but do you know, would they have been able to just drop you for injury?
Probably. I didn't really look into it, because where it was broke, I knew I couldn't touch it without like the most extreme pain of my life. But basically what I did is that she was like poking on it, and she's like, how's it feel? I was like, it's not that bad. Like, it's searing pain. And I was like, ah, it's not that bad, because I thought about it. She goes, well, we could get it x-rayed, but even if it's broke, I was like, even if it's broke, aren't they just going to cast it up and I can just keep playing through the pain tolerance anyways? And she's like, yeah, basically. I was like, all right, I'll keep playing. Like, I'll cast it up myself and let's wrap it up and let's protect it a little bit. But
so it didn't keep you from playing? You kept playing?
I kept playing. My coach is, he was such a good human being. I don't know if you know him. Yeah. He's such a good human being. Like, he was literally worried about, like, my well-being. Because, like, I'd be in the middle of practice. I actually had my best practice of the year came 2 days after I broke it.
Okay.
And I gave out so many buckets that day. And I was kind of laughing at the end of practice. I was like, man, I think Kobe died. And he was like, Jeremy, if you want to play basketball, I'm going to break your left thumb so you stop using it. You're shot. Because I could not miss. And I was laughing with Coach Anderson. I was like, Coach, I'm gonna wear this cast even after this thing heals. He's like, no, you're not. But we got to the next, but at the very end of that practice, it was such a good practice, and I was like, man, I might get some good playing time even though I'm wearing this stupid cast. I got it hit, like someone swiped down on a ball and it hit directly on it. And I mean, I had to leave the gym because there's kids around and I was trying so hard not to just, you know, swear. And yeah, so I literally walked outside and dropped the big F-bomb and was like in so much pain. And by the time I walked back inside, you know, practice was over. It was almost near the end of practice. And coach wouldn't put me in the next game. He goes, I saw how physical it was. And it's like, they were just going to go right for it. I was like, man, you're a good human being, but damn it, I want to play. But after that, we had a game in Jamestown and coach was kind of saying the same thing. He's like, hey, once your thumb heals up. And I kind of walked up to him after, you know, he talked. And this is something I teach the players that I work with. And I really make sure I keep on myself about is you've got to be able to speak up for yourself. You have to be able to speak up for yourself. And then you got to deliver, but you got to be able to speak up for yourself. And I walked up to coach and I was like, coach, I can help us. Like, you've seen it in practice. This, like, I know it hurts, but I can help us. I'm fine. Like, it only hurts really, really bad for like 5 seconds and then it goes away, which was a half truth. But like, I still knew I could provide value to our team. And he put me in with like 2 minutes to go in the first half. He's like, because we were getting spanked, actually. We were down by like 30. And we went on like a little like 9-0 run. And I hit like a three and had like an assist. And I was like, okay, and I walked over to coach. I was like, I told you I can help us. And he's like, I know. But like, he goes, I'm worried about it. I was like, coach, like, so basically, we had another guy come in. Evan, and what is his last name? I can't think of his last name at the moment, but he came in our next trip to Raleigh and he had like 27 and 13. He played the same position as me. And so me being, you know, a guy that was put towards the back of a coach's mind and having a player come in and play that well, it's, you know, it's just tough when you play with talented players. Yeah. And everything's talented, it's tough, man. And I had, that's when it's just like, cool. And you get hungrier and you're like, you're either going to keep working and try and get that spot back and get those minutes back, or you know, you roll over. And you know, I kept working, and by the end, when everything got called off, you know, I was healthy again, and I was right back into being in that consideration for, you know, for the seventh and eighth guy off the bench. So like, things happen, but no, I don't I think they could have gotten rid of me. I never really looked into that.
So talking about playing with all that talent, most of the guests we've had from TBL have been coaches, owners, that kind of thing. I'm trying to think offhand, I'll have to look again if we've had a player. I don't think directly on an episode, but so when you talk about the competition, how fierce was that competition actually from your perspective in TBL?
Man, I mean, just the thing I was so grateful for, and I said this after our first practice, our coach, you know, Mark, you know, Coach Anderson would be like, Jeremy, what'd you think? Who'd you like today? And, you know, that little last huddle. And I was like, man, I am so thankful to be here. I was like, this is awesome, because we got after it every day. We were harder on each other than we were sometimes when we showed up at the game. And we had so much talent. You know, we had ex-Gers like Devon Hayes is such a solid player. Corey Wilford is an absolute bucket, like in his sleep. You know, he takes some of the most difficult shots and it still goes in. And we had so much talent on our team alone that just playing every day against each other, we just got better. Like, and I got better. Like, when it came to the games, I saw a ton of tendencies, I guess. Like, certain players were really good at doing like one thing, and it was like whether or not you could stop it or not. And it was really cool. It was cool to see that. Like, it was cool to see, you know, I don't know how, if every of all the other teams had the same amount of depth that we had.
Sure.
But just as far as sheer talent, like, you know, everyone, you know, if you have, you got an open shot, someone's probably going to knock it down. You know, the scoring, you know, is somewhere in the 100, what was our, the average of the league was probably 116 points a game, you know, somewhere around there. Like, people know how to score the bucket. And even Coach Anderson said this at one point. He's like, you know, you guys have the same skills that those NBA players have. It's just learning the game. And I think that's really the thing that I saw. And, you know, I have to develop myself is that learning how to take advantages. You know, someone's got a hot, the simple things, like someone makes two shots in a row, it's like hot hand, like let's work with this. Or, you know, this is what that guy's tendency is, like let's see what we can do to shut that down. Like, I think it's more of the IQ development versus like the talent, because from what I saw from a talent perspective, as far as being able to score the ball, you could tell that all these guys were the main guys everywhere they've ever been.
Yeah, that is a good way to put it. Wherever they came from, they were the main guy on that team. That is, I've certainly noticed that.
Yeah, and I think that comes to a detriment. It makes me think of Team USA on a small scale. When you bring together 10 players, I'll say this, when you bring together 7 players that have scored 20 points a game their entire career and have been the guy that takes the difficult shot and has been the guy that goes one-on-one, has been the guy that does this, and you try to put it together on a team, roles get muddy and people can get frustrated with one another. So it's being able to have that leadership and that voice. And that's why I am so excited to be a leader at some point. You know, when you're a new guy, it's tough. Like, I didn't say a whole lot this year, but I know when I get to be the chance to be a leader, one of the biggest things I'm going to say is, look, everyone can go one-on-one and score. You guys are so talented. And I said that to players one-on-one off to the side. You are so talented one-on-one. You're the best one-on-one players I've ever met in my life. But you doing that after we just went down on a 6-0 run is not the time to do it. Like, that's when we need basketball. Like, we need a little bit of movement. We need to make them play defense. And then, you know, if there's 7 seconds to go on the shot clock, go nuts, go bananas. I don't care what you do. But if you do that, and then so does the wing, because he scored 25 points a game and he was a stud, and so does our four, because he was 25 points a game and he was a stud, guess what? Then everyone's feeling that they have to get theirs versus just trying to win the damn game. Like, I can't wait until I'm in a position of leadership at these top levels, because I really think that's when the team's going to win a championship.
So quickly, before you guys cut out, that season cut out early, how were you guys doing?
Good, man. Like, I mean, we had what was our last trip? We went to Florida on our last trip.
Did you play both of them there?
Yeah, we played Tampa and Gulf Coast.
Okay.
We had a couple guys, we had one guy not be able to go because of injury at his shoulder, and then another person, been a newcomer, Demetrius, hurt his knee, and so he couldn't play a majority of the 3 games. And so what happened was, is we had, well, I got to play a little bit more too, which was super cool for me. That was fun. But we just had better teamwork and more trust, I think, that was starting to develop. And kind of what I was talking about is, instead of like people trying to do it a lot themselves, we kind of were starting to get in a little bit of a flow as a unit. And I think kind of just starting to bond too. Like, you know, a month or 2 months is not that long when you are just kind of just getting to know each other. So I really felt like we were about to make a turn, and people were starting to see the value that all 10 of us could bring. Because all 10 of us, we had a lot of talent. So it's tough to see that get cut short.
Yeah, and the league itself has been growing stronger, so it's going to be exciting to see the next year. I think the next season is going to be the big one. I really do. So that's exciting, and it's good to hear that you guys were doing, growing together and growing strong, especially in a market like Owensboro that's a lot different than teams like Tampa. Teams in Tampa and Dallas and Tri-State is up in there, and so, yeah, bonding's important.
Do you see that? Because I don't know. I feel like every market, even if it is Tampa and Gulf Coast and Dallas, I still see it as a small market just because of where the league's at right now.
That's interesting. The reason I'd say small market is just not necessarily the people you bring in, but the people you can reach easier. Like, if you go on a radio show for your team out in Tampa, you're going to get to a lot more people than when you do it in Jamestown, New York, right? More people are in Tampa hearing it. Now, whether or not that's going to bring the people in is a little bit different. And it does bring into a question, like when we were doing interviews with all the owners and stuff at the league combine, those big markets that we'd call them have other teams there. So you may have more people, but you are now splitting and potentially having to compete with them in that manner. So,
and that's what I mean. I actually see us as having the biggest advantage of all, because we're the biggest show in town.
That could, yeah, no, and that can honestly be the case. We did a road trip. Me and my team did a road trip to Jamestown, and that was absolutely the case. When Jamestown had a game, everybody knew it. And yep. So that's what was going on. And that does play a big role, especially for anyone happened to listening, thinking about a team. That's a market decision. And that's a really good thought and question you have to come up with.
Well, yeah, because if we were in Dallas and we went out to a school, they're like, oh, do you play for the Mavericks? Oh, no, we play for, what is it, the Skyline?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we play for the Skyline. Like, oh, it would still be cool for the kids and all, oh, you guys are so tall. And then, like, you know, then it's about how you show up. But, you know, when you play for Owensboro and you walk into these schools, whether or not, like, especially as we had a really good vibe from the city about our name as we were out there and, like, doing this stuff, like, it changed to, oh, yeah, you guys play for the Thoroughbreds. Like, that changed. Like, we were, I think that's the other thing that was happening too in that city is we were changing how the public viewed us, and they were starting to, like, they were starting to love us, like, from a lot of different business standpoints. And I think Owensboro and some of the small communities, I think, have a really good opportunity to, I mean, to blow up in their cities and be that show.
You do. You absolutely do. And the only potential downside, and I don't consider a downside, but potential downside would be that you just have a lower ceiling, right? But otherwise, you are the biggest show in town, and that is, yeah, that's sweet. That is really cool. All right. We covered a lot, and it's golden. I love this a lot. So is there anything else, any other things that you think they need to know? Any athletes or fans in Owensboro, anybody you think you need to say something to?
I think it's more just the, like, your daily practices and your daily habits. You know, I think it's like, it's one of the things that I do is, you know, every single day I wake up, I do a breathing exercise from a guy named Wim Hof that, you know, just changed my life from a health standpoint. And then I hop in a cold shower, I drink, you know, a liter of water, and, like, it's just this reset that I do. And being able to do that every single day, even when you don't want to, like, because when you get motivated, like, that first month is easy. You know, when you're really motivated to try and make a difference in your life, that second month might be a little easy. But if you have a 5-month period like we do right now, or if you ever have a 4-month off season, you know, depending on when you hear this, it's so difficult to put in the same effort month 3 and month 4 when you still aren't going to play for another month than it is that those first months and those last few weeks. Because what I hear from so many athletes is, you know, that first month, you know, they're pretty excited. They know what they need to work on and they're in the gym. And then month, like, 1.5 to 3, they're like, oh, you know, I'm kind of coasting right now. And then I'm going to sharpen up right before season.
Yeah.
That tells me that your main focus is on that level and that level alone, instead of living out your damn dreams and, like, making it and becoming, you know, it doesn't have to be a big legacy or anything like that, but if you're gonna go for something, go for it. Like, and put, and then, and I, what I've done in the past is, like, I just basically that reminder. I have certain moments that are so big of embarrassment or of big time, you know, game winners that I've hit, or, like, you know, that moment with Gary Payton, or when I dropped, like, 24 on Kevin Young in the first half, and he played, you know, a national championship game in Kansas, and he's such a great player.
Yeah.
Like, and he might not have been going super hard because it was a rec league, but at the same time, it still gave me confidence. Like, those moments, I try and remember and put them fresh in my mind and then reset every day. And it's like, okay, I made those moments happen because of how hard I worked in the offseason. And I think that's just it. It's like, if I could say anything to players, it's, number one, we have all the access on YouTube to everything you could ever want to know, whether it's rebuilding your knees, whether it's becoming healthier as just a person, and then working our guard skills, shooting, it's all out there. And then putting yourself out there, recording yourself, getting used to that, and then just doing it every flipping day, like, every day, until you finally just get to the point where you're like, you know what, like, this isn't for me anymore. And then taking that same energy that you learned from basketball or football or baseball, and then taking it to that next adventure in your life. Because, you know, these habits that we're building through sports are going to be the same habits that you probably use right now and that other people will use in the future.
Absolutely. Awesome, man. Jeremy, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad you had me, man. And like I said, like, I know, you know, I wanted to touch a little bit on my first couple stops, but I'm glad we got to this part, because this is what I want to talk to your viewers about.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Hi, man. Appreciate it.
See you.
Later.
From what to do during these downtimes to techniques behind sending out emails and to whom you're sending emails to the mindset you need for going to combines, all of those things were cleared up so well by Jeremy, and that's why I really appreciated having him on the show. Plus, he brought a really great energy to telling his story and giving insight to all of you, which is fantastic. So, big thanks to Jeremy, and we'll definitely be watching out for him, as it seems it's just getting started for him, and as whenever the seasons start again, we'll see where he ends up, and it's going to be fun to watch him. But keep an eye out for him, everybody out there. That's Jeremy Bright. Thank you. Thank you all for making it through another episode. A couple things I got a quick run through and then we'll be done. First, if you haven't already, go ahead and follow us on our different key platforms. First, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin. Also, Instagram, at globallyballinofficial, and then Twitter, at globallyballin. The Instagram and Twitter are by far our most active, and they're also very different content. They're actually run by different people. So go ahead and make sure you're following both of those, and they'll also both alert you for when something new is posted either in the podcast or Patreon, which I'm going to talk about in just a second. Also, when it comes to the Facebook account seems less active, and we're aware of that. It's different kind of content, and more is coming to the Facebook page, so you'll want to like it to make sure you're ready when a new wave of different content, which is coming soon, starts to make its way on there, which is exciting. Finally, though, is the Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com and then you search Globally Ballin, you're going to find our account. $3 a month, and with that, you're going to get a couple of things. First, shout out to all the supporters, which is great, which is actually also really good for any of you athletes out there. It's a great way to get your name, your brand, your place where people can find your highlight tapes, all that stuff. That'll be plugged in our episodes, which is great. So if you become a patron for the $3 a month, you'll get that. In addition, though, what we're really kind of excited about, not that we're not excited about the other one, is that you're going to get a bunch of extra content. It's going to be different from when I originally recorded this to when you're listening to this now. We're going to keep adding to it. There's a lot of different stuff. It might just be extra stuff that didn't fit into an episode. And there's also a whole new different kind of content called Candid Conversations, which is basically a whole new show that we started. As the name suggests, it's a conversation between me and somebody else. For whatever reason, it doesn't fit into an episode. And if you go check out one of those Candid Conversations, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So that $3 a month, you're going to get your shout out and your help to support your brand or get attention to your highlight reel or whatever, plus a lot of extra detailed, fun content in addition to this free podcast. So go and check that out. Refresher, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin, Instagram at globallyballinofficial, Twitter at globallyballin, and Patreon, patreon.com, search Globally Ballin, and you'll find, do the $3 a month patron if you're interested and get all new content, a bunch of additional content. If that's not for you, totally fine. We still really appreciate you supporting and listening. If you have any suggestions, make sure you send us a message. Again, because we're most active on Instagram and Twitter, that's the best way to send us a suggestion. We'd be happy to listen and try to get anybody in that area and that sport, that country, that topic that'll help you best. So make sure you send us one of those requests. Otherwise, thank you again for listening. You'll hear from us again next week.